Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk. Today on the docket, more coverage of the Derek Chauvin jury trial. Some interesting testimony. Second, Letitia Stauch is out there writing more letters, and they've been released to the public. It's certainly not helping her case. And our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich, and this is the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel out there. All right, a busy docket. As you can tell, we are still south of the border, but we're still watching the Derek Chauvin matter. And the weather here has been, well, we got a little rain today, but it's supposed to be nice this afternoon, as well as tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday. I can't wait. All right. Let's get straight to the docket. Okay, so we had Miss Ross testify today in the George Floyd matter. She testified to her ongoing relationship that she had had with Mr. Floyd over the years, how they had met at the Salvation Army, and that they both struggled with prescription pain pill addiction. Not uncommon for people, particularly years and years ago, where doctors would give people lots of prescription pills. They would give them out to everybody. A lot of people became addicted, not surprisingly. But when those pills got cut off, you had to get them from other people. And then ultimately people would resort to use of heroin, the ultimate opioid, correct? So Miss Ross testified to the fact that she was aware that George Floyd had periods where he wasn't using opioids, other times where he was. The prosecution brought out on Ms. Ross's testimony the fact that he would struggle with this, but she could tell when he was back using the drugs. She noticed changes in his mannerisms. Now, one thing about Ms. Ross's testimony was on direct and redirect, she was very tearful with just about every question, very forthcoming. And then when the defense got up, she had to have her memory refreshed. She had met with the police, the prosecutors, the FBI, over the course of the last year or so, I think it was 16 times, and she couldn't remember a whole lot. She seemed to know specifically back in these previous interviews who Mr. Floyd was getting these drugs from, and it was a Mr. Hall. But when in court, she said, well, I really wasn't there, I didn't see it, but at the time she had no problem offering that information. Now, what I thought was very interesting is that there was an incident back in March where Miss Ross had taken a pill where she had a very similar circumstance as to Mr. Floyd. These are pills that she got from Mr. Floyd's dealer, Mr. Hall, and she thought that she was going to die. Now, obviously she didn't, thank goodness, but the point is it was a very similar reaction, i.e. possibly fentanyl. Now, what we also know is that Mr. Floyd had an overdose and was in the hospital. And when he had an overdose and was in the hospital, what did she say? When she found him, he had a white substance coming from his mouth, very similar to what he had the day that he was placed under arrest. And obviously Derek Chauvin put his knee on him, Mr. Floyd, for some 9 minutes and 29 seconds. But you can see, and this was no surprise, we knew exactly where the defense was going in this particular case, and the prosecution tried to blunt the defense jab, so to speak, by trying to say that, well, we acknowledge that he had a drug addiction, we acknowledge that Mr. Floyd had issues, and they're trying to get that out there. But I think that this witness actually, in the long run, helped the defense by showing that there were, in fact, drug issues, serious drug issues, and that the prior overdose was very similar to what took place the day that Mr. Floyd died. The next witness that we had in the Derek Chauvin jury trial today was paramedic Bravender. He was one of the paramedics who arrived on scene with George Floyd. He was actually the initial driver of the ambulance. When he arrived, they had a description that the patient was suffering some sort of mouth injury and possibly some sort of drug substance abuse type of issue. I think it was notable that paramedic Bravender stated that they were going to do a stop and go, which was to pick up the patient, in this case Mr. Floyd, go to another location and begin resuscitation efforts on Mr. Floyd. The reason for this was that there was a crowd around there and they thought it was going to be for safety issues. Now, on cross-examination, a couple of things came out that were significant. One, paramedic Bravender stated that when they arrived on scene that Floyd was on his left side, leaning just a little bit, and on his stomach. Now, the paramedics also, if you can see from the video, didn't look like there was a whole lot of sense of urgency going on in this particular case. Now, the defense didn't make too big of issue about that, but I think we may hear something about that in the closing arguments. Paramedic Bravender also stated that they had issues putting on this Lucas device, which was a device that basically does chest compressions. They had a latch issue. And prior to that Lucas device being placed on Mr. Floyd, the officer was in there doing compressions. There was also issues about putting a tube down Mr. Floyd's throat to intubate him. And there was an issue because the first one that he had got was too small. The little tube was too small, the paramedic stated. However, he said there was nothing obstructing the flow at that particular point. Obviously, the key point was that Mr. Floyd did not look like he was basically alive. The paramedic wasn't really allowed to state that. There was a sidebar regarding that particular issue, but he did not, Mr. Floyd did not improve his condition in any way whatsoever from the time that he was picked up at the stop and go, so to speak, and the resuscitation efforts that took place a few blocks away, and ultimately when Mr. Floyd was taken to the hospital. Mr. Bravender did not look like he wanted to be there as a witness at all. He looked really nervous when cross-examination was going to start, and a lot of people could have tried to say it was really the paramedics that really could have done more to help save Mr. Floyd. The defense really didn't go there. There was some talk about what medicines that should have been possibly administered or signs, vital signs that should have been looked for with drug use. But that was it. We'll bring you the next witness. We heard from paramedic Smith, who is the second paramedic that treated George Floyd. Paramedic Smith made the assessment that when he arrived on scene, George Floyd was in fact deceased. He described the efforts he took to resuscitate George Floyd and that he was unsuccessful, and when he arrived at the hospital, George Floyd was in the same condition, deceased. He did state that he received some sort of electric pulse at some point, and they did attempt to shock Mr. Floyd, but that also was unsuccessful. We're now hearing from the captain who was there with the firefighters. We're hearing his story. We'll talk about his story tomorrow. Next on the docket, Letitia Stauch writing letters. A letter from February 21st was released from Letitia Stauch that she wrote to the court. And in this letter, this was a letter where she was asking that her counsel be dismissed. And if there's ever a reason why you should always have an attorney when you go to court, this is it. Because you say things that come across and sound stupid. Letitia Stauch in one breath is saying, I have mental health issues. The defense team isn't getting the records that they need, but I'm fine now. Maybe I still have some ongoing mental health issues. This doesn't help in any way. Letitia Stauch then goes on and says that the two men that are the real killers in this particular case are getting away because my defense team wouldn't go and get the video from various locations, and now that evidence is gone. And if they hadn't been focusing on mitigation, i.e. trying to save my life, then more than likely we would have this evidence, and it would all show really that this is just a big misunderstanding. Letitia Stauch also believes that her attorneys are in cahoots with the prosecutors and they somehow don't believe it's in her best interest to have a trial to the court. I totally agree. Why would you want the prosecution to only have to prove their case to one person, the court, versus 12 people? Clearly, you increase the chances of a not guilty or a hung jury if it's to 12 people versus one Letitia Stout. Letitia Stout also complains and says that the person who did the competency evaluation is clearly just an actress in cahoots and doesn't really understand what they're doing whatsoever, probably because they didn't find her to be insane or not competent. So the reality of it is Letitia Stout is a hot mess at this particular point. She is doing nothing to help her case, only to hurt it.
Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched, and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship. You're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did.
Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant of the day is Mr. John Combs. Now, what did Mr. Combs do? Well, he was walking down the street, had a big stick. The police thought that they should probably make contact with Mr. Combs. It's unclear exactly what he was doing wrong, but the police made contact with him. They had him put the stick down. Mr. Combs was somewhat hesitant to have the officers search a particular area in his pocket. Needless to say, the officers found a believed to be drug-like substance, according to the police reports, later tested to be methamphetamine. Now, Mr. Combs, not his first rodeo, he doesn't say, hey, this is baking goods. No, he says basically that is salt. It is Epsom salt, and I'm gonna use it at home for a remedy for my ingrown toenail. Well, my hat's off to you, Mr. Combs, for creativity, and maybe the jury will believe that it was there for medicinal purposes and that you actually thought that you had Epsom salt. So you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day, Mr. Combs. Congratulations. If you are the winner, you will receive a Crime Talk mug at the end of the week. If you're the winner of the dumb criminal contestant of the week. Today, you're just Thursday's winner, but congratulations. Thanks for watching. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow on Crime Talk.